This is Backyard Villains, the 662 Wiffle Ball Podcast. I'm Matt Camp, and on with me today is Tennessee Vols representative and local truck driving hero, Jody Savage. Jody, how's the roads out there, bro?
Man, pretty clear with everybody staying at home.
So there'll be a lot of truck drivers going around. Y'all are pretty busy right now, I imagine.
It's crazy. You got a lot of these companies shutting down, and you know, we just kind of keep moving strong at the moment.
Yeah, we don't have much of a choice. Nurses and doctors and truck drivers seem to be in pretty high demand right now, so I'm glad y'all are taking care of business. And anybody out there that's listening that does drive a truck or know somebody, hey, thank you. And if you know somebody, give them a pat on the back, buy them lunch. A lot of people don't think about the fact, but you can't take your big rig through a drive-thru, and they won't let you walk through the drive-thru a lot of times, and you can't go in restaurants anymore now, so it's kind of hard. I saw you and Ryan were talking about gas station fish, and I gotta say, man, you're braver than I am.
Yeah, it's whenever you get in this truck, and you gotta sort of get creative on places you can stop at, and usually gas stations are usually one of the top spots because they're not the only ones with the parking lot big enough or a road in a way where you can park on the road and get to it. Most of these fast food places are in really busy areas, and it's just hard to get one of these trucks in there. But I tell you, you know, you find some gems kind of hidden in Memphis doing it that way, though, so...
Folks up there, there's a few things they know how to cook, and fish is one of them, but you got to really be careful about where you get that kind of stuff from. I know we were down in Bahia a few years ago, me and my dad, and he had a bologna sandwich, just an innocent old little bologna sandwich. Man, he got so bad sick, I thought he was going to swear off pork altogether. Jody, are you still with us? I think we might have lost Jody. Hello? Mr. Savage. Hello? I think we might have lost you. There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. I thought we lost you to Memphis there for a minute.
Yeah. I'm sitting right beside a warehouse, and it's kind of breaking my reception there a little bit.
Well, tell them to shut down. We got more important things to talk about. Speaking of more important things to talk about, what week zero? So far we've only had one game in the season, and we've kind of had to push back because of all this. But how do you feel like you panned out?
I think I started off pretty strong, and I feel like as the game went down, I feel like Jason adjusted pretty well to pitching, and he started kind of finding my weaknesses and
got to get Jody out of Memphis, y'all. He's having a hard time with it. I guess while we wait for him to connect back, I'll talk about a few things. We talked about earlier about starting talking about softball, church softball on this podcast, and obviously it's been practices. Jody, you back with us?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here.
You don't have to quit. I don't know. You keep dipping out for a little bit. I'm having to run the thing by myself. You were kind of talking about Jason adjusting to pitches. I think, we changed the inning length, and I think that's one of the good things about it is it gives you more time to pick up and adjust. It's like any other baseball game. You see the right pitcher enough times, you start to see him a little bit better, and you know what he's going to throw and when he's going to throw it. And I think that's certainly a big advantage to changing the innings. And I'm like you, Jason. He seemed to pick up on it pretty good.
Yeah, and And whereas, you know, he started picking up on my pitching a little bit better. He changed his up throughout the game, and it really made it difficult trying to pick up on what he was coming with. And, you know, pitching-wise, I felt like I did okay. You know, the scoreboard might not really, you know, hint that much, but I want to say until the last inning, he had only scored like 5 or 6 runs, and he really kind of pounded them all in that last inning.
Yeah. Well, once you get the ball rolling on it, it's easy to do. It seems like every time you throw your bat out there, it's a hit.
Yeah, it's true.
But how do you feel like your pitching did as far as just your individual? You know, take Jason out of the equation. You know, we switched the format from blitz ball to wiffle ball. How do you feel like you adjusted to it?
Overall, I mean, I'm still feel like I'm pretty accurate with it. I think I need to develop some more pitches. I think I'm only got really one that I really trust. And, you know, as soon as somebody feels like they got onto it, you know, I might be in trouble.
Right. Well, hitting your spots is certainly important as well, especially since we took the walk out of it. It puts it more towards the hitter's advantage.
Right.
So being smart at the plate is going to be a big part of it. And, I mean, you get one pitch, two, three, you know, one pitch you're pretty confident in. You could throw it better than anybody in the league. And I think I kind of touched on this with either Jason. I think it was Jason when we did his interview. But you get that one pitch, even if you could throw it better than anybody else in the league, it's still just that one pitch. And when you're a one-trick pony like that, eventually with 4 innings, you're going to pick up on it. So that's where you, like you were saying, you really got to develop a few more pitches, just to throw them off.
Yeah, definitely. I think even if you're just wasting it, even if you got, you know, develop a waste pitch that you could just throw up there every now and then just to let them see something different.
Right.
And all I really had was I had my one pitch and I had a – just pretty much the straight meatball fastball that was pretty much all I had. I threw a couple of good curves, but it's just not consistent enough to really call it a pitch yet.
Right. Well, that's certainly something that we can develop and try to build on. That's the good thing about using these wiffle balls is I feel like there are a lot more pitching possibilities than there were with the blitz ball.
Yeah, you can definitely get creative with it. They definitely have a lot more movement.
Who do you got week 1 when and if we get started back up again? Are you playing week 1 or you got a bye?
I got a bye week 1. See, what are the matchups that week?
I know I'm playing Mike, so that means and Jason and Ryan are playing. So then you get the bye. And so it's kind of the lower tier versus the topper tier. Mike did pretty good in preseason, so who knows how that's going to turn out.
Yeah, I think both matchups are actually pretty interesting. I think between you and Mike, I think from, you know, a pitching standpoint, y'all both are about the same. So I think it's really going to come down to who can find the holes hitting, who can avoid those barrels that me and Jason seemed to hit quite a bit the day we played.
Right.
You know, if it's those barrels, we get out, we get possibly getting outs or limiting doubles or singles and things like that. So I think that's what it's going to come down between y'all two. It's going to come down to hitting guys.
Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with power because, you know, as we've seen throughout this process of changing, these wiffle balls are hard to hit over, you know, our outfit. So,
right. Well, we only had one come close, and that was that one that that Jason actually hit out. But even that one that he hit out, he got a hold of. I mean, it's not like he just lofted it up and it got some air underneath it. He, you know, he put a pretty good lick on it. I guess we lost him again. Like I said, we were talking about church softball on this podcast, and we're going to kind of build on that as we get closer to the season. Be able to actually have a season, but for the time being, we're kind of at a standstill. They've suspended up at the park. They've suspended any kind of practices for softball and for I coach my son's baseball team, 9-10 baseball team, and they put a suspension on that. Put a suspension on softball. So hopefully we're gonna try to pick softball back up. I think we got Jody back with us.
Can you hear me?
You there? Yeah, I can now. I was talking about that home run that Jason hit, and you know, in blitzball, if we hit a home run, it could be somebody threw the ball hard, you threw your bat out there and made good contact with it. But with these new broomstick handle bats, you really got to put something on it. And
yeah, you got to hit the ball at the right spot, and it's got to hit the right part of the bat with these things that we're using at the moment.
Right. I mean, it's definitely more challenging, and I like it. I think it's you know, we played with the idea of going back to the regular blitzball bats, but I think I like the way it is with the broomstick handle. It makes it a lot more interesting, and you and Jason showed that it can you know, it can be competitive for you know.
Yeah, I think you know, and talking about the matchup, you know, that Jason has coming whenever we get back at it. You know, Ryan has showed with the blitzball that it could be a pretty dominant pitcher. So I'm curious of how overall, you know, how his pitching's going to adjust to the new ball. I think Jason has a slight advantage to hitting. But who knows? I'm interested in seeing with Ryan's pitching, if it adjusts and he does as well as he did last year. This could be a real interesting matchup between them two.
Yeah, I think this is going to be kind of a season-defining game, you know, once it does get played with these two. And there's certainly been enough smack talk to get the ball rolling on it. I mean, we might as well get them together at the UFC and just have them facing each other.
Face off.
So, but I think we've Commissioner Mike Campus, he hadn't really put an end to the season. He just kind of postponed it, put it off a little bit, much like anything else, except for college baseball apparently, which is being shut down. I think everybody's just trying to play it by ear and just trying to see where everything goes before we can get a good read on it.
You know, we all got kids, so it's all safety first for our kids mainly, and our parents. You know, with us, it's not really affecting our age group as bad. But, you know, with us getting out there, getting around each other, you know, it's mainly looking out for our kids and for other family members that may, you know, be more susceptible to the bad things with this thing going around than us.
Yeah, because there's a certain age group that it just kind of attacks, and we've all got pretty young kids. I think I've got the youngest one, you know, Crew, my son. He's 2 months old, 3 months old now, and you want, like you said, we want to be careful. We want to get out there and have fun and enjoy the league. I mean, we've worked real hard at developing it, and I think everybody, you know, appreciates all the work that went into it. And I feel kind of like the college baseball players who put a lot of time into this during the offseason, and then here we are. We get to it, and we barely scratch the surface on getting started, and all of a sudden it got shut down. So, fortunately for us, it's not an academic problem, and it's also not an eligibility problem, because we'll all be eligible to play next year, if we're not too out of shape by then. It's tough. It's tough when we work as hard as we have, and we have. I mean, you can see with the fields, you know, the addition of another player. And Mike messaged just earlier, said he may have a sixth player. And we had a sixth player, but ended up backing out. But working real hard, trying to develop things, and then get the season kicked off just to kind of just get a gut punch and say that it's having to be postponed it's kind of a bummer. Jody still with me? I'm gonna start taking a collection, y'all. We gotta get Jody a new better phone. back what I was talking about earlier, though, we're still doing the church softball league as of right now. They haven't canceled anything, and I talked with Jason McClure, who plays for Redeemer. I'm kind of in the process of getting a couple other guys from a couple other different churches getting set up for interviews, and but hopefully we'll be able to start practicing soon, and all this stuff will blow over. I don't know. No one really does. All we can really do right now is just try to be smart and make sure we take care of what we're supposed to take care of, and hopefully it'll pan out. But we're still going to try to get the season going. A new prospect, the church that Jody and I play for, and also Mike and Mike Camp and Ryan Kuhn, we all play for new prospects. So our new jerseys came in, and we got the font picked out and the colors and everything. So we're gonna have new jerseys pretty soon. We've just got to get the season going. And until they start letting us practice again, we're just not gonna be able to. But I hope everything blows over sometime soon, because I really feel like if we all did our best to try to do right in this situation, I feel like we could all.
Yeah, I'm here. I don't
flatten the curve a little bit. Jody,
it just must be this spot where I'm at. I move one step and it cuts out. I can still hear you talking. I can still hear you talking, but I just
stand still.
I can't respond.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard that.
I guess you heard we're going to take a poll and try to get you on the phone, huh?
I need a new phone.
Told threatening you with a good time, huh? We'll touch on a few other things, like how did you react to the Prescott franchise tag?
It kind of leads me to believe possibly that maybe Dak's wanting out of Dallas. So he's not wanting to take any type of extension unless it's something that's going to fill up his pockets more than any other quarterback in history at this point. So me neither, you know. And even if it is Dallas, I don't see them. They were going to give him, I think, a pretty fair amount. Maybe it was a year thing. Maybe the years wasn't right, for Dak. I don't really know.
Well, I'll tell you this about him being in Dallas. They asked him, you know, his favorite team growing up was the Cowboys, and that's who he wanted to play for. And he kind of looked up and got, you know, drafted by him and all. But I don't know, something could have changed. And like you said, he may be wanting out of Dallas. I mean, that's them giving him the franchise tag instead of the big contract leads me to believe they're not completely bought into him yet. They don't really want him going anywhere else just yet until he proves something.
But yeah, and that, you know, that's
invest in him just yet.
I have to agree a little bit. I just feel like he hasn't. I think he's the top. You know, I think he's a better quarterback than the top half of the league, or he's within the top half of the league. I just don't know if he's. I don't know if he's top five. I don't know if he's top 10.
Right.
He may be top 15. Maybe. I think he's kind of in that 9 to 11 range.
Well, I can see that. Well, I mean, let's break it down. Who in the league right now, quarterback, is better than Dak? I mean, you got Tom Brady, maybe. Not maybe. You got Tom Brady. I'd say
Russell Wilson. We can word it like this. Like, who would we rather pay more money to be on our team? Other than Dak, I think those three that you named would be worthy. Some other ones I'd put in there would be Drew Brees, even Mahomes, definitely.
Mahomes.
You know, at this point, I don't think I would pay Roethlisberger more money than I would Dak. I think. He's sort of getting that Eli Manning effect. He's getting towards that end of his career. He's for one, he's like hurt the majority of the time the last 2 years. So I think we're just leaning in.
Well, I agree with you. I think he's one of those top tier quarterbacks that has the potential to do really good. It just he needs to be able to prove it. And
well, you got him with a decent, you know, above average offensive line. You got him a good running back, so they can, you know, definitely can disguise a lot of passing plays. Receiver wise, they got Amari Cooper. They can maybe add another piece in there. Receiver wise, then I think he's got everything he needs.
Yeah, I think at this point it's just about him stepping up and taking that leadership role and being the quarterback that they think he can be. I think he definitely he was blessed. He was fortunate to come into the league when he did. So I think he's got that going for him. He's got to prove it. What do you think about Tom Brady going to the Bucks?
You know, as good of his career has been, you know, he's aging. His play's going to go down a little bit with that. He's got, you know, probably maybe top five wide receiver pair in the league. And I, you know, I'm just concerned from his standpoint, you know, with I've heard a lot about Arians' offense. He wants to push the ball down the field. I'm curious how much Tom Brady can push the ball down the field because he's never been that type of quarterback. He's never right. Well, he's never relied on that for his game. He's been I don't want to compare him much to Manning because they're two different people, but you know, play wise, they do a lot of dink and dunks and a lot of reading the defenses and playing the defense and just getting the ball around the defense. And I don't know if doing these disguise plays to get the ball and push it down the field, I don't know if he's there. So I'm curious how Arians might adjust to that. Because I think in order for Tom Brady to remain successful these next couple years, I think they're not going to push it down as much. But who knows? Maybe. I don't know. I think he's trying to prove a point. I think he's trying to prove a point to everybody that said that he wouldn't be anything. Right. And so I think he's very – I think he's out there with the mindset. So, you know, I think either way, I think they're a playoff team now. They were close to a playoff team last year. It's going to be interesting, you know, being in the same same division as Drew Brees. But I do think they're going to snag a wild card spot or maybe even the top spot in their division above the Saints.
He's either gonna prove that it wasn't Belichick and he's gonna do really well, and then if he does bad, then everybody's gonna just kinda say, well, he's nothing without Belichick. So I think Belichick's kinda wanting him to tank a little bit that way. He can say, yeah, it was all.
Yeah, and I think it's kinda unfortunate that we're the best quarterback, you know, we might, you know, from a sports wise, football wise, I think it's kinda hard. It's sad to say that we're kinda gonna make that point. Given his age. But you're right. That's what it's going to come down to. You know, he's
right.
You know, if this was 10 years ago, I don't think we bring age into it. And, you know, it's can he do it without Belichick? You know, that's really it. But now with him being so much older, people are still going to make that question. Can he do it without Belichick? And even as he's aged and his play has diminished a little over the years.
Yeah. Well, but he's always had, and people are going to say he's always had Belichick to fall back on. So I guess, I mean, we're going to find out. We're going to find out real quick. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. One more thing before I let you go. The softball season has been kind of postponed. It hasn't been canceled yet, but the season doesn't start until the end of April. And I think April 27th is the week that the season starts. And obviously school and practices and everything have been put off until April 17th. It doesn't give us a lot of time to prepare, but you're going to try to play with new prospects Sunday. How do you feel about coming
out? I guess the most important thing is, you know, it's – I think you kind of hit on this a little bit earlier. I hope we have a season. If we do play, you know,
right.
I think, you know, it's just a 30-year-old guy that had, you know, this is what I sort of rely on sports-wise and activity-wise, to just sort of get together and have fun with the guys and enjoy a little bit of fellowship at the same time. And so I'm really hoping, for one, you know, if we do have a season, I can make as many games as possible. Like you said, you coach one of your kids, and I do as well. So with that schedule, two, you know, we'll just be.
Well, it's hard to try to keep up with your stuff and your kids' stuff at the same time, because you want to. I mean, obviously they're a priority, but you also want to stay active and, you know, keep in touch with friends and you know, softball, church softball adds that, you know, that kind of
right,
that kind of activity into our schedules that we wouldn't normally have. So we're losing some players, and we're adding some players. It's kind of back and forth. Where do you think?
You know, traditionally, I've sort of always played first base. You know, that's been throughout baseball and softball. I've played a lot of first base with the church. I have also, you know, pitched at times whenever there hasn't been an available pitcher. And I've played a little bit of outfield. So, you know, and I've always said this with softball, when in regards to softball, is, you know, as long as I get to play, I'm really not ashamed to play anywhere. I'll play anywhere that I can to touch the field and just have that activity available for me. But, of course, preference, first base. I guess second preference would be right field. Outside of that, go ahead.
Well, I know it. I was just going to say, I know if I end up having to play third, I sure appreciate
that. Yeah. you know, and I feel like really at first base, I'm probably as good as I've ever been. And, you know, I do I would say probably 60 to 70% of the ones thrown in the dirt, I think I'm at least able to stop it, to keep it from getting by me, and maybe keeping the runners from advancing. And of course, some of them I'll scoop up and we'll get the out or whatever. But I just try to provide a wall over there to, at the very least, not let the ball go to the fence.
Right. Well, I think the problem isn't necessarily the dirt, because we've seen some good stretches out of you. I think the problem is when certain players, like, oh, I don't know, me, tend to overthrow that wall. But I think with Ryan's got a bullet and a cannon. I think he's pretty accurate for the most part. And you know, we have Beard playing second some, and he's pretty good. I think the only thing you got to worry about is me over there at third.
Well, I think too. You know, if the ball hits the dirt, it depends on the day. Sometimes it depends on the inning. That dirt is so inconsistent over there that. It'll the ball hit it one time, and the next time it hits it, right, the ball will react differently. So, you know, as much as we love this game, we also sort of, with it being church softball, we also do a lot to sort of protect ourselves and not try to do too much to take one to the teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike can testify to that. So I think I hope we get to play. I know Ryan's real fired up about it, and we all are. But it's kind of at this point, it'd be cutting it close if we do get to get it off the ground. And I was telling Cassie earlier, even if they lift it, like if they lifted it right now, if they said everything's fine, everything's good to go, you know, no more worries about anything, I think people are still going to be a little standoffish, and especially if you push it out another month, I don't know that. I don't know that people are even if they do say everything's good to go on the 17th, I still feel like,
you know, with me being, you know, my full-time job is actually a teacher. You know, and it's not up to me. The decision's not in my hands, but I do have sort of that gut feeling that we won't be going back to school until August, you know, and that might be, I might be wrong, but I just feel like, you know, with everything going on, you know, it just might be like a safety precaution. And especially with only, by the time we come back, there's only going to be 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks of school left. They may just say, you know what, it's not worth, you know, coming back. With that being said, a lot of these parks, these sporting activities, and, you know, locally, a lot of them are following the actions of the schools. So I have a feeling if they do that, I think softball and maybe even, you know, I'd hate to say baseball too, because I really want to get into baseball. But if they delay the baseball season for youth baseball season for a month, that means they'll probably delay softball to a month. And like you said, who's still going to be invested to play church softball into maybe July? Because that's probably what it's going to come down to.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people with bigger problems. I mean, my biggest fear with this whole thing, and you can kind of touch on this whether you feel this way or not, but the virus itself isn't necessarily the biggest concern of mine. People's reaction is a big concern of mine, and the economy is a big concern, because a lot of small businesses are going to take a hit because of this, and especially with you know, gridlock and the government not being able to get any kind of fresh blood into the economy right now. I'm scared that by the time the dust does settle from all this.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because you got, that are, you know, as a result. Even for 2 weeks, you got some companies that need a constant flow in order to pay employees, in order to, you know, buy product. A lot of these local restaurants, you know, they got product that may expire in 2 weeks, and they may not have the money. The inflex of money to buy new products. So, I, you know, that's a huge, be a huge shot to the local economy as well as the national economy. And like you said, it's gonna be some casualties in it from a business standpoint for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there just about has to be. I don't know how, especially a young business, because, you know, anytime you start a business, you don't necessarily make a dollar that's yours for a while. So if you start a new business now during all this kind of stuff, and I know some people that are, and I pray for them, I feel bad for them. I mean, it's going to be hard not to go under as a result of all this kind
right,
of stuff. And
right.
At that point, you know.
But I think you're right. I think these young businesses, 2, maybe 3 years or younger, I think those are the ones that are going to take the biggest hit, because like you said, they're not at that point yet where these owners are actually making an excessive amount of profit. You know, all their money's going towards product and maybe getting the restaurant the way they wanted to, and paying off loans that they took out to open up the restaurant, and or, you know, not just restaurants, you know, any other business that may be affected by this.
Yeah. I mean, and the first, like you were hitting on, the first couple of years in a business like that, overhead is a killer. And you've got to have cash flow coming in and fresh revenue. And if you don't, you've got no choice but to go under. And so there's a lot of new businesses around this area, and I feel bad for them, but I hope we can kind of plow through this and come out on the other side kind of unscathed. I think if everyone would calm down just a little bit and just act normally and just, you know, make sure that they're sanitizing things, staying clean, staying distant, and just kind of use some common sense, but at the same time,
I think the biggest thing too is, you know, grocery wise, you know, I'm all a, I'm okay with the fact that some people want to feel like they're prepared. So they do a little bit of stocking up. But I think anything beyond 2 or 3 weeks, I think is a little bit excessive. And I was just talking to somebody the other day. I was out. It's just normal for me to go grocery shopping once a week. And I just bought my normal weekly things. And I pretty much found everything. But I talked to this guy. And he is pretty much telling me that, oh, you know, I've been to one place, you know, these last 2 or 3 days in a row, and they've had this every morning. I'm like, why have you went to the same place 2 or 3 days in a row? But that's what it is. I feel like a lot of the people out stocking up are the same people. For one, I ain't got that kind of cash floating around that I can go spend $1,000 on groceries. But it's just kind of disturbing. You see a lot of the same faces whenever you go to places, and they're buying the same thing every day. And it makes it to where people that are still having to work, especially these first responders and people in healthcare and people with families, you know, like me and you, and we're still having to work. It's making it hard for us to get out at a certain time and to find necessary products for our house.
Right. Well, like I said, I think if everyone would just calm down and use a little bit of common sense, I think everything would be okay. And I think it would clear up okay. Because, I mean, I was talking to Cassie about it earlier, and this is kind of the last point I want to make on it, but, you know, everybody's real big now into sanitation,
yeah, no,
and hygiene, all this kind of stuff. What were they doing before? Because, I mean, I was telling her, I said, all this stuff that they're recommending for us to do, all the stuff they're recommending for us to do is stuff that we already did. And I was telling her, I said, you know, our routine and the things that we do, it hasn't really changed. It's just, you know, we're doing the same thing that we've been doing, and
right.
It just kind of makes you wonder what everyone was doing before. Like, we went to get, you know, like I said, Cruz a couple months old now, and we went to get wipes, and they were just wiped out, and we stocked up before because we, you know, not necessarily anticipating this, but we stocked up just knowing they're expensive and we didn't want to take the bulk of the you know, financial price, right, you know, all at one time. So we went to get some more. And Cassie said, what were these people doing?
You know, we sort of fall in that same boat. You know, we normally buy, you know, one of the pretty big boxes of wipes, and it just so happened, you know, before all this stuff sort of came, about a week or two before all this stuff sort of coming as a big deal, we sort of had bought our box of wipes, and so we're, you know, kind of feeling the same thing. Like, okay, is, you know, and I understand too, you got some families, and these are the families you might be worried about at this time, is, you know, some people might be buying one pack at a time and doing what they can. So those are the ones you're worried about, but you got some that may have just as much as I do. But they're so worried about the outcome of this, they're going to buy 3, 4, 5 boxes of baby wipes.
Right. And that's what's messing it up, and it's making it hard for, like, if everyone would just buy as needed. And I know not everybody does that, but this, you know, buying months worth of meat that's going to spoil before you get a chance to eat it is ridiculous. It's wasteful. And it pisses me off a little bit. And, you know, everybody goes and buys all the baby wipes and you know, stacks up on them, which I'm all for, you know, I'm all for having plenty. But if everyone would just get what they need when they need it, I think everything would go a lot smoother. I was telling Cassie, the analogy I made was, it's like when you're sitting at a green light and there's a lot of cars at the green or a red light, and there's a lot of cars. When the light turns green, if everybody would just start going then, everything would go much faster. But you know how long it takes for everybody to get going.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's just kind of the way I see it.
And I did hear somebody, a health professional on the radio this morning, they said that he's not saying it's overblown, you know, but he was saying that he feels like the time frame of this will be a lot quicker than what people are saying for a lot of areas. And he said it's going to be different, you know.
I certainly hope so.
But he said it's different for every area.
Right. Well, Maybe we'll get through it pretty soon. Brother, I've taken up enough of your time. This is Backyard Villains, the 662 Wiffle Ball Podcast. Jody, thanks for joining me, man.